Miss Shepherd, reel 3.
What parts of the country did you go to?
Oh, all over the country. Mostly the Midlands, well, Alexander Palace, and then up in the Midlands, you know, Staffordshire, Rutland, all, and up to Scotland. All over the place.
Was that because conditions were particularly good for ballooning, or was it just that they
No, they had their fate for that particular day, and if it was a windy day, well, you went just the same. You see, it was just... But it was extraordinary. We used to have particularly nice days. The weather was not like it is now. I mean, it was usually very, very nice weather. Mm-hmm.
Would you only go up at certain times of year?
Oh, yes.
Did you go all year?
Only in the summer. From Easter to the end of August. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you wouldn't go up any other time.
What was Captain Gaudron like?
He was a very courageous man. He was quite small, French, but very courageous. Oh, yes, he's very nice. I think, I don't know how long he'd been dead. 10, 20 years, something like that, I don't know.
Did he go up in the balloons as well?
Oh, yes, yes. And he made several parachutes descents too. He had some very bad accidents. He knocked his face about, once. He was a form in the field. It was made of stone, you know, up in the Midlands, some of them have stone hedges. Well, he knocked his face about and knocked about here, knocked his eyes out. They can put them back again. But then he cut his face and he looked just like an advertisement for OXO. They used to make OXO bills, didn't they? He was all over here, cut all over. Oh, dear me, poor man. No, he was a very courageous man. Mm-mm.
Did he tell you how he wanted you to fly in the balloons? Or did he just leave it up to you?
Oh, no, he left it to me. When once you knew about it, you knew about it, and that's all. You just took your life in your hands every time. You knew that. I mean, most of them were killed. If they just... Because I tell you, the only time I was really frightened was when I fell on that housetop and I had to fall about 6 feet down from the chimney pot to the guttering, and I was scared stiff. I don't know, life is peculiar.
Couldn't you have given a good show by going up less high in the balloon? Was it necessary to go to 4,000 feet before...
No, I used to like to go high because I had it in my head in those days. If I had to be killed, I'd like to be killed completely, you know, good and proper. But the people used to like, if it was a clear day, they used to love to see you going high. It gave them pleasure. It gave me pleasure too. But that was really what it was, you see. I thought, well... If I do get bang, I go.
What did your parents and your family think of all this?
Well, they knew I was rather a little bit of a, what shall I say, a daredevil, and they just took it for granted. Mm-hmm.
Did you often go up with another person, or was it only...
No, I didn't. I only made doubles when Captain Gaudron. Well, the only time, I tell you, this girl, when I had my... You had that down, I think, when I had my bad accident, you know, with the girl when... I had to bring the girl down with me. Do you remember?
You and she both went up in under a hot air balloon?
No, a gas. Thank goodness. Oh, yes, that was gas.
And was that rather unusual, to go up with another girl, or did you...
Well, I'd never been up with another girl. I'd only been up with Captain Gaudron, you see. He and I very often used to go up together. I mean, he was experienced. After all, he was the boss. And he always... Then, when I went up with him, I had to go away first. We used to have quite a lot of quarrels in the air then, because he used to say, pull away. I'd say, no, I want to go higher. I'd say, will you please pull away? I'd say, no, I want to go higher. Never mind about the people. You look after yourself. Never mind about the people. And so then we're so all the time we were having these little arguments. You see, we were getting higher. So I mean, then I pull away when I wanted to, because he had the rip valve. See, and I knew very well that he wouldn't dare let me. He wouldn't dare pull the rip valve himself because he would have killed me. I know. He was a nice little, a very nice man. He was. No, the only time I ever went up with a girl, as I tell you, was the time when I had that, I showed you. I think you've got that, haven't you? You've got that.
Do you think she didn't understand what she was supposed to do?
Well, she'd never been up before, you see. See, she was quite a novice, really.
So was there something wrong with the balloon, or did she make a mistake?
No, the valve of her, the cotter pin didn't work. And she pulled away. Now, did you remember? I think I showed you a thing. I had that thing that was like that, the two together, and I had to pull her. When she really, I won't say lost her nerve, she was going to drop because she was exhausted.
The problem was that she could not get her parachute free.
Yes, she couldn't get it free, no.
So she was just holding on with her hands onto the bar.
With the piece of webbing, you see, we had, you know, that just kind of gave you you took a little bit of weight off you.
Yes, but if you let go with your hands, you could have fallen.
Oh, well, of course, yes.
Oh,
yes, there you go. No, you see, and then so then that's why I had to pull over gradually, and then she put her arms around my neck, her legs around my waist first, and then her arms around my neck. And then I had to pull away with mine and pull the ripcord. And that's when I got spinal paralysis, you know. So that's what I'm suffering from now.
Did she ask you for help, or did you realise?
Oh no! Well, I realised it. I mean, what would anyone do if you could see the danger? See, after all, I was experienced. And what would you do? I mean, it's all you have to ask yourself. What would I do in any circumstances? You wouldn't leave anyone.
So then, you pulled both of you away.
Yes.
And you both went down together from one parachute.
And at 1 second, I was hanging on with one hand. See, while I was pulling the thing.
Did that make the parachute fall in a different way?
Oh, quicker, of course. I mean, it just came down. I didn't think it would open. I thought that's the finish.
Did you and she say anything to each other, or did you?
No, I just said, before I pulled away, I said, well, if you've ever never said a prayer in your life, say one now.
Were you saying prayers as well?
I did.
Then when you landed, I think you said you were on the bottom.
Yes, I was. See, and she bounced on me like that.
So she was all right?
She was all right, yes. She was quite all right, except for shock, you see. She was suffering from shock, but I was on the ground, good and proper.
Were there people on the ground that saw what was happening?
Well, they were, 20 miles away, something like that from the place, and they just saw something fall out of the sky. They didn't know what it was, but through the clouds somebody looked up and said, oh, look. See, and something fell out of the sky, out of the clouds, and it was us. And we were only about 6 feet away from the road. If we'd fallen in that road, there would have been no hope for us. But as it was in a field.
Did you lose consciousness?
No. No, I didn't lose consciousness at all. I only got paralysed, you see, and my mouth was like that afterwards. After a little while, you see, I could speak. All I wanted them to do was, I said, dig the earth away. Just dig the earth. Dig it away. I felt I wanted to fall through something. That was a sensation. What's that? In that field, where we fell in the field, that was a peculiar thing. Those people, the people who looked up and saw it, they were practicing first aid. Now, can you imagine that? Practicing first aid, but of course, I said, no, send for a doctor. They wanted to touch me. I said, send for a doctor. No, send for a doctor. I know I'm badly hurt, but send for a doctor. And they had to. And the doctor, I think, well, they had to send a horse and trap for the doctor. I think he lived about 16 miles away, so you can imagine See, and there were no hospitals so that they could send you to get an X-ray. I just had to, they put me on this improvised stretcher, it was a door, and put me on this stretcher. When he came, he said, oh, yes, we'll get onto that. And then they got me up to the into the farmhouse. It was a place at, near Tuxeter. And they took me up to the, put me in the bed, and there I was. So.
And what about the other girl?
Well, then she went back to London, because she was all right, you see.
She stayed with you then?
Oh, no.
To disappear?
She disappeared, yes. As a matter of fact, I know she was engaged to a boy, and I know that he was furious about it. I heard afterwards that he was absolutely furious. She used to live with her grandmother, and he was so furious, and I think he married and they went right away. Never heard anything more of her, I see. So that was that. No, weren't you getting on to the...
You had to stay at this farm then until you recovered.
Pardon?
You stayed at the farm until you recovered. Oh, did that take a very long time?
How long was I there? Oh, it seemed to me months. I don't know how long actually it was. I don't know. It was a long time, I know, because doctors, specialists came down to see me and they thought I'd never walk again. And then at last there was a Scotch doctor, a family doctor, who said, because I was told I was never going to walk again, they were going to see if they could get me into a home in London. Because in those days, you see, you didn't have X-ray. You couldn't either. It was just kind of guesswork. I don't know what it was. But he said, oh, no, I've been waiting for this. Now, you mind if I try something, Lassie? And he got, oh, you've never seen big plates like this to put on my back, and because they used to, I think, used to really have a game sticking pins into me, because from here I was quite yellow.
From the waist down?
Yes, from the waist down I was quite yellow, and they used to come and stick pins in. Of course I couldn't feel it. But he put this thing on my back. Metal plates. But the old farmer had to have it through himself, and they had to form a circuit. So the farmer had to have it as well as me. They formed a circuit. It was very old-fashioned, you see. Today it would be an electric, well, they fix an electric pad onto you, and that would be that. But this...
An electric charge came through the plate into you. Why did the farmer have to be there?
They had to form a circuit. I don't know quite what they meant, but I know he had to have it. Poor old man, he was a... You can see what kind of, I don't know, the farmer, real. I could hardly understand him, because they used to speak in thee and thou, you know. I couldn't understand him for a week or two, but I got used to, you know, thou art this, you know, thou art that. But when I was able to be pushed about, anyhow, this doctor, he persevered with this electric gadget, and he got me to stand up. And then in the farmhouse, it was a wonderful oak farmhouse, and he stuck staples, and the farmer stuck staples and rope, and they stood
into
me up.
The ceiling.
And they stood me up, and I, holding him down like this, and the farmer's wife used to kneel on the floor and push my feet, and they used to call out, thou art walking, but I was standing up anyhow, you see. And